Good morning. I hope we're all doing well these days, despite the restrictions. I was speaking to somebody recently, and they said the uncertainty that surrounds us is a great opportunity for the living church. Many, many people through this COVID crisis are facing bereavement, domestic abuse, rising debt, bankruptcy, redundancy, interruption of education, illness, loneliness. And of course, that's very true. The trouble is, for many of us, it can be very different to overcome our personal inhibitions and reach out. We naturally feel maybe self-conscious. Perhaps, like me, you've travelled the distance to attend a conference or a lecture, perhaps related to your company or firm, a lecture or conference on updated planning requirements, technical advances in the products you're marketing or developing. Imagine the venue is a large conference hall. You arrive 20 minutes before the first speaker, and there are several hundred people standing around in groups. You're alone. You feel somewhat self-conscious, uncertain, as you stand just inside the entrance. You see somebody reading the fire escape notice in case of emergency on the far side of the hall, and you make up your mind to go over and introduce yourself to this lone figure. He readily engages in conversation. He's also a lone figure. You've made a contract, you contact, and you find this quite reassuring. You've overcome a sense of insecurity and established a rapport with somebody who likewise was feeling perhaps a bit isolated. In Luke chapter 8, we read of the woman rejected by society because of her condition. She overcomes her self-consciousness, her feelings of inadequacy and rejection, and presses through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' robe and receive healing. So often our natural reservations can prevent us reaching out when we can do good, and in many cases, receive good. Jesus in his ministry crossed many boundaries of convention. With a ministry of love, he still exercised his authority without fear or favour, from overturning the tables of the money changers in the temple to telling the woman caught in adultery to go and sin no more, crossing the determined boundaries to shed light or to bring forgiveness and love. These are days of challenge, but also of opportunity. Many of us, possibly for the first time, are questioning the meaning of life in this great time of uncertainty. In 1 Peter 3, it says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Notice it says, "to everyone who asks." We are not to be loud and overbearing in our witnessing, but pray for guidance when we engage with somebody in need. Some years ago in Kirriemuir, a family moved into a ground floor flat in town. The flat above at first floor was occupied by an elderly lady who proved to be a difficult and somewhat intimidating figure. She habitually objected to the children playing in the garden and making a noise. It became a real problem. One day the children's mother was baking, and inspired, she decided to bake two cakes and offered one to her grumpy neighbour upstairs. The elderly lady was surprised and somewhat confused by this unexpected blessing and changed her critical attitude and ultimately became quite friendly with the young mum. Sometimes we can be intimidated by those whom we believe are in positions of authority or better educated or whatever. In John chapter 6, we read of the boy who offered five loaves and two fish. And here was this young lad standing near to Jesus and his disciples, no doubt attracted by the master and what he said and his love for children. And he heard the conversations and the bewilderment of the disciples. And he plucked up enough courage to tug Peter's sleeve and say, "I have got something I can offer." He was not intimidated by the backs of the disciples around Jesus, but with courage intervenes. The result the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. We often hear about those in authority who have real needs and shortcomings. As the book says in 1 Timothy 2, pray for those in authority. And I believe whenever you are prepared to help and you feel God's prodding, take a move in that direction. I wonder how many of us have walked swiftly past the figure sitting in the doorway begging. We reason in this day of benefits and food banks, there is no good reason for him to be there. We justify our prejudice by thinking he is there to feed a drug or alcohol habit. We don't want to probe further whether he or she has health problems or that they maybe have real desperate needs that justify this last resort to keep going. Our prejudice closes our minds to pause and consider whether we should offer help. In Luke 10, we read of someone who could easily have real prejudice that would paralyze his action. The Samaritan who came to the aid of the injured Jew. The Samaritan who worshipped in their temple in Mount Gerizim, where they worshipped Jehovah, yes, but alongside various other cultish gods. The Jews despised them. They had no dealings with them, whatever. The Levite and the priest already passed the Jew, one of their own kind, but the Samaritan, he could have built up a justifiable prejudice against this poor victim lying at the side of the road. But no, he stopped. He was moved with pity. He binds up the wounds. He set the Jew on his donkey and out of his own resources has him cared for in the hostel. The next boundary we have to overcome is prejudice, the addict, the homeless, somebody from the gay community. What is God saying as you walk past? Pray that we hear that still small voice. What is God saying at that point of meeting? Stop, pause, listen. Perhaps not this time. He's in my hands, you may feel. Not every situation we encounter demands our action, but be prepared as God leads to act. Colossians 4 and 5, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You know, sometimes when you cross a boundary, you have to earn the right. If you know somebody, if you've made acquaintance with somebody, you may have to earn the right to speak into their lives. Mary Slessor, the Dundee lass, the missionary in Calabar, Nigeria, had earned that right with the fierce, warlike tribes in Africa. I read from her book, or a book written by Bruce McClellan, a very interesting book, and I quote, Mary Slessor excelled even the natives themselves in their own language. She could play with it and make the people smile. She could cut with it and make them wince. She could pour out spates of indignation until they cried out, Ekem, enough, ma! And she could croon with it and make the twins she saved happy. And she could sing softly with it to comfort and cheer. Her command of the language helps to explain her influence and control over the native people, because she knew their language and their laws through and through. Her advice was sought on so many matters. One visitor summed up her influence like this. Her power is amazing. She is really queen of the whole Okoyong district. The High Commissioner and his staff leave the administration of it in her hands. It is wonderful to see the grip she has of most of the intricate native and political questions of the country. The people tell me she knows their language better than they do themselves, and that they appeal to her on their own customs and laws. She has done a magnificent work, and the people have a deep reverence for her, more than you can imagine. When they speak of her, their tones change. By showing the love of Christ and operating under his guidance, she loved and cared for a people who were warlike, superstitious, depraved, extremely needed. She cared for them all. She cared for the ill. She looked after the abandoned children. She settled tribal disputes. Fearlessly, she confronted drunken, aggressive chiefs and had their respect. She could only intervene and dare to settle issues of customs and conflict because she had already proved she meant the best for them. She offered the love of Jesus and a fearless iron will, and she confronted evil and chaos to bring peace. She had built an emotional bank account with these people who permitted her intrusion into their affairs. Someone once said there are only two people who can tell you the unvarnished truth about yourself: your worst enemy and your best friend. Sometimes we have to draw on the emotional bank account we have built up with somebody to advise, correct, or affirm in a particular matter. You have earned the right to speak in, to warn, and correct. In Colossians 3, verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." What does admonish mean? It means to reprove gently, to warn, to caution. In Romans 15, 14, the NIV translation says, "to instruct one another." To sum up, this is the day of opportunity when so many people face disruption in their lives. As those who follow and trust Jesus, it is a day when we can overcome our personal barriers and reach out for contact. Our self-consciousness, the intimidation we feel, the prejudice we have, and where necessary, where we have earned the right to those that we know, to draw on that emotional bank account and to speak in hope and reconciliation. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." I pray God's blessing as we walk together through these uncertain times and reach out to those whom God puts in our path. Amen, and God bless you.